From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a series of studies in Psalm 138. The great theme of this psalm is worship, particularly how God's people are to worship Him. First, please enjoy a brief devotional thought taken from Morning and Evening, a collection from the pen of the great 19th century English preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon. This morning's text is found in John chapter 4 and verse 14. Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. He who is a believer in Jesus finds enough in his Lord to satisfy him now and to content him forevermore. The believer is not the man whose days are weary for want of comfort and whose nights are long from absence of heart-cheering thought, for he finds in religion such a spring of joy, such a fountain of consolation, that he is content and happy. Put him in a dungeon, and he will find good company. Place him in a barren wilderness, he will eat the bread of heaven. Drive him away from friendship, he will meet the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Blast all his gourds, and he will find shadow beneath the rock of ages. Sap the foundation of his earthly hopes, but his heart will still be fixed, trusting in the Lord. The heart is as insatiable as the grave till Jesus enters it, and then it is a cup full to overflowing. There is such a fullness in Christ that he alone is the believer's all. The true saint is so completely satisfied with the all-sufficiency of Jesus that he thirsts no more, except it be for deeper draughts of the living fountain. In that sweet manner, believer, shalt thou thirst. It shall not be a thirst of pain, but of loving desire. Thou wilt find it a sweet thing to be panting after a fuller enjoyment of Jesus' love. One in days of yore said, I have been sinking my bucket down into the well full often, but now my thirst after Jesus has become so insatiable that I long to put the well itself to my lips and drink right on. Is this the feeling of thine heart now, believer? Dost thou feel that all thy desires are satisfied in Jesus, and that thou hast no want now but to know more of him and to have closer fellowship with him? Then come continually to the fountain and take of the water of life freely. Jesus will never think you take too much, but will ever welcome you, saying, Drink, yea, drink abundantly, O beloved.
Oh,
Are you looking for guidance and help in your study of the Bible? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study. Today, Dr. Alan Cairns continues his series of studies in Psalm 138 as he brings the next portion of a message dealing with verse 7, "Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me." God's people are no strangers to trouble. The Lord Jesus said, "Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." In Job 5, verse 7, we read that man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. Rather than allowing ourselves to be swallowed up by the trials that come our way, we are encouraged to follow the example of David, who, in the midst of difficulties and dangers, focused upon the Lord his God. He believed that God would revive him, that the Lord would somehow use the severe trials to glorify himself through his servant. God's people will be enabled to survive. And now, to bring God's Word for today, here is Dr. Alan Cairns.
God is holy, God is just, God is good, God is love. That I knew. So let me start from there, and in the light of that, explain the difficulties and the sufferings and the troubles, if I can. And if I can't, let me say, I cannot explain, but I can trust the God who is what he says he is, and will do what he says he will do. David did that. He did not focus upon the trouble. He had to walk through it, but he did not focus upon the trouble. He did not allow the fear of danger to overcome him and to paralyze him. He turned his eyes upon the Lord. As he said in Psalm 121, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence doth come mine aid. My safety cometh from the Lord, who heaven and earth hath made. I love the words of Psalm 61, verse 2, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. David was not denying that he was overwhelmed. He was not saying, Lord, I have an easy answer to the problems I'm facing. I can argue and philosophize my way through them. He's saying, Lord, I am overwhelmed, but in that day I will get my eyes upon the Lord, and from the very ends of the earth I will cry unto thee. And then he prayed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. When your heart is overwhelmed, that's the prayer. When life doesn't make sense to you, remember it makes sense to the Lord. When you seem to be in danger of being overthrown completely, cry, Lord, lead me to the rock that is higher than ever, than I am. Verse 4, he says, I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. That's the confidence that led David to say, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. As Micah said, chapter 7 and verse 8, rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I will arise. I may fall. Trouble may knock me down, but it will not keep me down. I will arise because my eyes and my confidence are in the Lord. You see, David realized that the threat of Satan to destroy us by any means cannot materialize, because God, the Lord, has promised to sustain us and support us. David understood quite well what Satan's purpose was, but he understood no matter what that purpose was, the Lord's the one who directs us and our paths, even when those paths lead us into trouble. Now, this is not to exonerate the devil from what he does to hurt the people of God. It's not to exonerate men for what they do in hurting each other and in doing evil and wicked things. But at the end of the day, the Christian has got to realize, as the Psalm 66 verse 10 says, Thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou ledst afflictions upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water. But thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. Why does God lead his people those ways? I can't give you the answer in every detail, but I can say this. Here's an awful list: proving, trial, brought to the net, afflictions in the loins, man riding over our head, fire and water. That's a long list of trouble. But the end of it is to bring us into a wealthy place. an experience with God now, and an enjoyment of Him both now and forever. That's God's purpose. See, it's hard for me to understand sometimes, and I'm sure it's just as hard for you, that the great good of my soul is not what I may think it to be. The greatest good is not for me to have immediately everything that I want, when I want it, why I want it. The greater good may well be that the Lord deals with me to cut away proud flesh and conform me to the image of His Son, so that my hope and trust will be in Him, my confidence will be in Him, my devotion will be to Him, my whole focus will be upon Him, and my greatest purpose in life will be to glorify Him, no matter what the cost. He'll bring us into a wealthy place. Didn't He say through Jeremiah, in that verse that we have all quoted so many times, in Jeremiah 29:11, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. I know the purposes of God for you. That's what He's saying. They are thoughts of evil, or thoughts of peace and not of evil. No matter what the appearance is, and at that time He was visiting the most awful chastening upon the people whom the prophet was addressing. But He's saying, I know the ultimate purpose here, and it's not an evil purpose. It's a purpose of peace, to give you an end and an expectation. He's now talking about your future. He's saying, I have my eye on that. I was looking at the 71st Psalm in this connection. Verse 20 says, Thou which hast showed me great and sore troubles shall quicken me again. That's the very same thing. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, Thou wilt revive me. You've shown me great and sore trouble, but Thou shalt quicken me again, and shalt bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. Now we have come full circle. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, there's trouble in every side, Thou wilt comfort me on every side. And for every trouble, there's a comfort. For every difficulty, there is grace. Because we have a God who is able to deliver. How often have we read or sung the 23rd Psalm? The Lord is my shepherd. This is what's included in it. In verse 3, He said, He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Now that path is going to take us ultimately through the valley of the shadow of death. And He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the very same man who's saying, I walk in the middle of trouble. I'm surrounded by trouble, but surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You see, what enabled David to say, goodness and mercy shall follow me, was the assurance of this promise in our text this morning, Thou wilt revive me. Now, believe it or not, there are two main points of that I've never even got to yet, and my time's just about gone already. But let me point it out to you that promise has two elements in it. One is survival, and the other is revival. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, Thou wilt revive me. The word means, I suppose, most simply, Thou wilt give me life. Thou wilt preserve me. As the psalmist says in Psalm 118, verse 17, I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord hath chastened me sore, but He hath not given me over unto death. Now, I want you to understand this. And it's very easy to say, if I'm not suffering what you're suffering. But I'm not saying it facilely or tritely. The devil can't kill a Christian. Forget about all this charismatic rubbish of what the devil can do in possessing a Christian and even killing him. The devil cannot kill a Christian. Don't you understand that? When we come to die, it is not an enemy that will take us through those gates, but our shepherd. It is not Satan who holds in his hand the keys of death, but the risen Christ who says, I have those keys. They're in his hand. We are going to die unless the Lord comes first. We are going to die. But when we come to die, it is our Savior Shepherd who died for us and rose again, who through death destroyed the devil who had the power of death and delivered us, who through fear of death were subject to bondage. It is Christ, the risen one, the living one, who has said, I'm going to lead you through. I'll carry you through. And until then, he'll support us. Whatever the trouble, whatever the trial, whatever the suffering, whatever the anguish, whatever the affliction, whatever the challenge, he'll support us. He'll preserve us. And he'll use our circumstances to make us useful for his glory. Now that's easy to say. Let me tell you, first of all, it's absolutely true. He will do this. But second, it is a great thing. It's a vast thing for a Christian to say, Lord, I believe it and I embrace it. There have been Christians, and the Lord has put them on the flat of their back for years. And it was from that bed that they glorified him. I visited a man in a hospital in Belfast who had lain for 40 years paralyzed, a stranger in a foreign country, a young seaman, badly injured in an accident off the coast of Northern Ireland, brought to that hospital. Not a soul in the world who knew him. No home to go back to in his native Norway. And there for 40 years he lay. But if there was one light in that hospital, it was a large hospital ward, if there was one light that shone constantly for 40 years, it was the light of his testimony. And when there was none else to give testimony and to show the joy and the peace and the grace and the sustaining power of God and the reality of forgiveness and walking with the Savior spiritually, if not physically, came from that bed, the Lord will support us. There's survival here. But thank God there's revival.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.